Philosophers in
Space, 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 space.
I don't pretend to understand Brannigan's Law. I merely enforce it.
Listen, I'm not the nicest guy in the universe, because I'm the smartest, and being nice is something stupid people do to hedge their bets.
So, do you know what I'm gonna do before I do it?
Yes.
What if I do something different?
Then I don't know that.
Cool, cool.
I wish I read that book by that wheelchair guy.
Welcome to Philosophers in Space. This is episode 46. I'm Thomas. That over there is Aaron. How you doing, Aaron?
Oh, man. We got so much. Luckily, I have created a weird alien copy of myself that is here to help us out. Do you want to maybe introduce my weird alien copy?
Are you saying your DNA has been refracted into a third person on this podcast?
Yep. I went into a conceptual blender and something came out.
Apparently, they're launching biologists into space as well, because we've got PZ Myers on the show. How's it going, PZ?
Okay. Is that who I am? I've had these weird periods of unconsciousness since I was invited. When I went into the lab, I looked and my cells are all dividing and dying and replacing each other. I'm not sure who I am anymore.
I cannot wait to hear your take on some of the biology concepts in this movie. I don't know. It seems more psychedelic than biological, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
From a philosophical perspective, I should say, I don't know if I'm the copy or if he's the copy, but
yeah,
it doesn't matter. I know for sure that it doesn't matter.
We could be something completely different, you know.
Right.
I like that disclaimer. That's like philosopher's disclaimer. Like, we have to, because of, you know, philosophers here, like, we don't know who's, everybody's sentient, it's all fine. We can't decide between us. It's all, yeah. Okay, so we are talking about Annihilation, which I have to recommend that you watch it. It's on Netflix, and we can't really talk about everything we need to talk about without spoilers on this one. Sometimes we can avoid spoilers, but this one, it's kind of too critical to the discussion. So there will be spoilers. We're warning you right now. I don't think the spoilers will really, you know, like, prevent you from enjoying it after, you know. It's still a cool journey. It's fun to watch. But, yeah, I would recommend watching it first.
Lots of drugs while you're watching it. It would help, too.
Yeah. This is one where I'm with Thomas that maybe we can't spoil it because, like, whatever we say about the last 20 minutes of this movie is going to be as good as anything you take away from
right.
it. So
that's true. Yeah. Like it is. I want to be very clear that we are spoiling it, but also it doesn't, I don't know how much it matters.
It still doesn't matter. Right.
So, all right. We will try to do the exposition zone and then I can't wait to hear PZ's take on all this. And also PZ, I understand you've read the book, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think we need that perspective
The book is like the refracted version of the movie or vice versa.
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
It's very different.
Oh, man.
But still the same.
I'm glad we all dropped tabs of acid before this, and let's go.
You're traveling through another dimension beyond that which is known to podcasters. It is the middle ground between fair use and copyright infringement, between ordinary fanboying and meaningful analysis. It is the exposition zone.
So, exposition wise, I'll just clear up the basics, I guess. There's a shimmering soap bubble orb thing that has taken over a certain amount of land, and every team they send into it, nobody comes back until one person does, and that would be Natalie Portman's husband, played by Oscar Isaac. And of course, everyone should know this is written, directed by Alex Garland. He also did Ex Machina. So a little bit of overlap there. And we our official position is we love Ex Machina, official podcast position. So I was excited to check this out by the same guy. So anyway, Oscar Isaac comes back, but he seems different and not quite right, which we could talk about later. and so eventually,
common theme.
he he goes into like kind of critical condition, and through some, we got all these timelines too. For once, can we just have one timeline? No, I'll save my ranting for After Dark. And so Natalie Portman becomes part of a team of all women, and they mention that, but I don't know if there's a specific in-story reason for that or not. But it's this team of all women played by some great actors that were mm-hmm. fun to watch, who go into the Shimmer, as it's called, and then we crazy stuff happens in the Shimmer, as it seems as though DNA and everything is like combined. Okay, this is where the biology, I need a biology teacher. Somebody somebody bail me out. What is happening in the Shimmer, PZ?
They're making up a bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay.
But they're doing it really well. That's the important
It's one
part.
Yes. of those bubbles where stuff is made up. I get it.
Okay. It's like Cthulhu's bubble bath. You're right. That's exactly what that image is.
But in the story, we're meant to believe that something is like scrambling all the DNA of everything. And so we start getting mutant monsters and just combinations of plant, animal, everything human, bear stuff. It's crazy. And it's got some good jump scares in it. I'll give you that. And so that's kind of a horror movie there for a little while. And then we get toward the end, and slowly, one by one, the people are kind of picked off by different monsters. And I don't know how much to go into the plot, but, you know, we kind of, eventually it's down to Natalie Portman and Jennifer Jason Leigh, who plays, I don't know how you would pronounce this name, Dr. Ventress?
Ventress, yes.
The weird, yeah. Ventress. And they kind of have different approaches to this thing. She just wants to go get to the lighthouse, which is the source of where whatever struck Earth and created this thing, that's where it struck. And she just wants to get there. She kind of knows she's probably doomed because all their DNA's been scrambled in a made up way. Natalie Portman is really, I guess, trying to unlock answers to what's going on with Oscar Isaac. I don't know. And they end up at the lighthouse, and that's when we get a Tool music video, which is incredible. And I actually really like the sequence at the end. But I think exposition-wise, I guess we need to talk about what? I mean, Aaron, help me out here. What do you think we need to cover in order to move forward with the philosophy and the biology discussion?
No, I mean, I think that's pretty good. I want to throw in that it seems to me that it's much more than just the DNA that's getting blended in the Shimmer. The Shimmer appears to refract everything, including, as far as I can tell, consciousness, personhood, and maybe time. So it's a complete paradigm shift when it comes to the separateness of things, as it were. And that it's a very much of a Heart of Darkness kind of story, where it's like all of the characters are deeply damaged and are there for, you know, problematic reasons. And like they all start to kind of come apart as they approach this source of change.
Well, but one of them just wanted to be a saucier.
That's right.
Is that a...
Never get off the boat, man. Never get off the boat.
Yeah. I don't feel like he was deeply damaged, but anyway.
He's damaged by seeing all that meat browned, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So much going on. I think, how do you think we should approach this? I really want to hear about maybe the biology. Like, is there any way, PZ, that you can, unfortunately, see, philosophy with Aaron is cool because he can bend anything to be anything and turn something into a satire or something. And then but BS, like biology, I feel like it's harder for PZ to be like, well, you know, if you read this as not literal biology and as, you know, like metaphorical biology, what's going on here? Is any of this?
Well, we could talk about the metaphors there because, you know, they constantly bring up cancer. That one of the big metaphors lying under this is the idea of cancer and the flux in the biology that's going on and changing things. So Natalie Portman is a cancer biologist specifically, right? And Ventress has cancer, although she keeps it quiet until the very end. Cassie, who's going to get eaten by a bear, has lost a daughter to cancer. And Kane, Oscar Isaac's character, The movie doesn't make it explicit, but in the book, it's pretty explicit. He's just blooming with cancers once he comes out of the shimmer. So there's this idea throughout that we're seeing this constant change going on, and that's going to often be expressed in terms of cancer. And let's see, Portman also talks about cell cycle and cell death and replacement, how organisms are constantly changing, you know, their substrate. So, you know, philosophers know about this, right? What, you know, what does identity mean? And there's an explanation that, well, it's just the continuity of the substrate. And Natalie Portman is saying, no, that can't be it, because the substrate is constantly changing, especially when you're exposed to the shimmer.
Yeah, I really like the idea that, like, what the shimmer does is that it accelerates change in systems where previously change was much slower. And depending on your philosophical perspective with regard to change, that's either a good thing or deeply horrifying to you. And I like seeing how the different characters react to that in different ways. I'm very much on Team Tess, Team Shimmer. Like, I think the moral of the story's name is that annihilation is how this looks from the perspective of a very narrow, egoic mindset. But from any kind of larger perspective, this looks like a very beautiful kind of change.
Yeah, and it's not as if annihilation is, it's not necessarily a bad thing to be annihilated, is what they're saying.
Creative and destruction.
I'll go ahead and come down on team not turn into a plant.
Yeah, that's and I mean, like, I know that that's going to be your feeling, but like, I'm very pro turning into a plant.
Yeah, and Josie, the physicist in the movie, you know, she clearly felt like, well, this is a pretty good peaceful resolution. Is I'll just wander off and become a plant.
And there's a lot of great background to it, because what we find out is her character is damaged in the sense of being, she would self-injure because she didn't feel like she could, you know, feel connected to things. And so for her, the inner blending that happens, the interconnectedness that occurs between individuals and everything that's happening inside of the shimmer probably feels much more alive to her in some sense, right? It is a way for her to feel
well
connected.
I totally agree. That's well spotted in terms of what the movie is doing, but or the book or both. But I mean, I don't think that it would be a very fun adventure for your molecules or whatever, your DNA, to be blended into plant life and not be conscious anymore. There's nothing that it's like to be a plant, I don't think. So, like, is there some idea that you're going to keep maintain consciousness throughout this? Or why would you think this would be a desirable thing? I'm coming down on team not be a plant.
Well, because, I mean, go ahead. Did you still want to say something, PZ?
I was just going to say that, you know, you're prioritizing consciousness from a deep biological perspective. Consciousness may not be all that much. I'd also point out that the movie is constantly bringing up the fact that, you know, consciousness is in flux as well as your biology. So people are constantly dropping out and losing track of time and then suddenly waking up and saying, why am I here? What am I doing here? How did I get here? So it's like there's this constant disruption of consciousness.
Yeah.
That is
something we talk about on here a lot, you know, like when you go into, you know, general anesthesia or whatever, when you go under and you wake up, it's very weird. How is it that we're the same person? It's crazy.
And we get a sense that consciousness persists in this world and in this part of the universe in a different way than outside of the shimmer, with that incredibly effective horror sequence with the bear. I think we should talk about that some, because it's like it's a sequence where there's this monster that appears to be some sort of mutated bear creature that is the thing that killed one of the female leads earlier in the movie and comes back later stalking the girls. And it uses the voice. Well, I don't know if it uses. We don't even know what's going on inside of this thing. But like it screams like she was screaming when she was dying.
Oh, I can tell you. See, as someone who has a toddler, there's these toys that you get that record stuff, and then they like squeeze the bear and it what happened was one of those, someone squeezed it while someone was dying in agony. And mm-hmm. so now it's mm-hmm. it's one of those toys that's just like, what? And like, that's what's in the tube. Pretty horrifying, but also true to life.
Yeah. Well, you know, and Josie also mentions, I think it was Josie, mm-hmm. mentions how horrible it would be. Maybe it was Anya, who mentions how horrible it would be if that was the last fragment of your consciousness that got retained in this creature that has consumed you. And it's constantly
Yeah, I think it's Josie because Anya gets mauled.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. It's Josie's reason for not fighting the Shimmer, right? The idea there being you can try to fight your interconnectedness with all of these things, and you'll end up, you know, wrestling a bear to death, and then that'll be your last painful moment. Or you can go give in to this thing in a positive kind of way, it seems like, and become one with it.
Yeah, and then be not conscious anymore. And that, well, like,
we don't know that though.
Well, okay, sure.
Right? Yeah, would you rather be a rampaging bear or a plant?
Well, or in
a biosphere, like yeah. maybe you're connected to all of the parts of the Shimmer, right? We see that there seems to be some amount of interconnectedness between the entities
yes,
within the Shimmer,
until,
consciously
spoiler
speaking.
Alert, a grenade takes out the whole thing at the end, question mark?
Question mark. Big question mark, I think.
Okay. Well, we can get to that later. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but in terms of the biology... Mm-hmm. Like, what's supposed to be happening? I still want to know. Like, she at one point she looks at her blood in a microscope, and it's a Beatles music video. Like, it's a, you know, one of those psychedelic flower thing. What's going on? What's supposed to be happening?
Yeah, you know, I've looked at my cells in the microscope, and yes, there are ways you can tweak the optics to make it all rainbow colored like that. Mm. So, but that doesn't reflect necessarily what's going on. Yeah, what was going on there? she's looking there and she's saying cell division, and she's assuming that it's changing, and she doesn't have the tools to determine that. But yeah, so that's kind of the made up biology there.
You're saying the science doesn't hold up in this movie so much.
Well, not really. I mean, like when Josie starts going on and on about Hox genes.
Yeah,
that
so
was
people were mad about that in the Facebook group.
That was nonsense. That was, and again, she has no way of, well, for one thing, she's a physicist, so what does she know? But also, she had no tools to examine Hox gene expression, these plants. And
do you want to explain that since we have you? I mean, I have no idea what any of that is.
It's a little Hawks birds genes. In your genes, right? Little hawks.
No, Hox genes are kind of a primitive set of genes that establish the body plan. So they're expressed early in development. And
Was this when the plant... So at a certain point, there's plants that are growing into the shape of human bodies for no reason. Is that supposed to be why that is?
Yes.
Like they've got the... okay.
And Josie claims without evidence that, I bet you they're expressing like shoulder Hox genes and head Hox genes. You know, and, you know, that's probably BS.
Probably.
Well, I'm trying to give a little bit of credit to the
writers.
Trying
to be scientific about this. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe if we plucked some of those leaves off, you know, and Natalie Portman was doing that. She was collecting samples. Maybe you could bring that back and find that there was some human DNA in there. In the book, they do that. They actually... you know, sample some of these things and they find that they're hybrids.
Oh, nice. It relates back though to our talk, to our conversation about the identity portion of this, which is that like one way to think about our identity is the plan, whether it's biological or whatever, that is part of what creates and makes us. And so as all of the plans blend together and create all these new things, that's another way that you can see sort of not just identity over time, but sort of uniqueness of Telos spreading out amongst all the different things.
Well, you know, and it reminds me, and PZ, give me your thoughts on this, because I remember back, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, back when things were different and there was more, we could focus on science instead of the, you know, the terror that is a political situation. But anyway, I remember there was like a viral video about, you know, GM crops. And the whole thing is like this kid being like, you don't want to put a tomato gene in a fit or with the other, you know, a fish gene in a tomato. And everyone's like, yeah, look at that genius kid. You know, by the way, side note, it's always a bad sign when like the best spokesman for your cause is a kid that puts, you know, that can't.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd rather an actual full grown scientist with training. But anyway, mm-hmm. It reminds me of that where it's like, is our way of thinking about that, or and I say our loosely, like society's way where it's like, yeah, that's a fish gene and that's a tomato gene. Like this movie kind of is showing that that's not really how things work. And biologically, right. Is that true where it's like it's not that something's a fish gene or a tomato gene. It's that things express themselves in different. They're all it's the same basic components. Yes, but they express
but
themselves.
But there are differences between those genes between a fish and a tomato, but they have right. many similar genes. And often what we're doing with GMOs is adding capabilities from one species that another species doesn't have into the second species. So you are getting new things in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, another example more current would be Alex Jones raving about pig-human hybrids.
Mm.
That
man-bear pig, my favorite.
That's right. Yeah, and you know that's real. They're making them, but what it really means is you're taking a pig cell and a human cell and you're fusing them in a dish. Mm. I've done some of this myself, but it's not such a big deal. Such a big deal. It's kind of routine. And it doesn't end up with, you know, manimals crawling out of the dish in the lab.
No one allows me to cross genes. I'm just saying, like, I'm never allowed near any of the fun activities like what you're describing.
Well, you picked the wrong job.
I know, clearly.
But yeah, there's things. There's things like hybridomas.
You get to put children in experience machines. That's also fun. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, so I was just going to say, you know, things like there's those lovely deer with the tree shrubs growing out of their heads.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Like, I love that scene.
Got all Miyazaki on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Princess Mononoke, this movie. Both the scary and the beautiful.
Right. And you could imagine being able to do that. You know, you'd have to overcome immune system, you know, opposition to that. But sure, you could imagine doing that surgically with hybridomas. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's another sequence where we see the consciousness duplicated as well, the beings moving in perfect sync the way they do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that. Okay, interesting. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, you have consciousness being refracted across entities.
This term refracted, biologically, does that make any sense to you, PZ?
No, that was bullshit.
Okay, cool.
just clarifying. She's talking about how, you know, radio waves and light could be refracted within the shimmer, and that's sort of making sense, but DNA is not a waveform, so...
It's a conceptually refraction device, right? It's a philosophically refraction device.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just stick it philosophical in front of anything and it works.
Well, I mean, it appears to be refracting things like tattoos, for example. I don't know if y'all caught this on your watching, but... That tattoo, which we need to talk about, that specific symbol, jumps from the guy in the really great Lovecraftian video that they find, Super Cronenberg video, and then, like, jumps to Gina Rodriguez and then ends up on Natalie Portman by the end. So, clearly, that's not even... you know, DNA, that's like some sort of identity marker that is being refracted across people through the shimmer. And some people pointed out the house that they sleep in at one point is Natalie Portman's house from the real world. It's there somehow. The world is changing in such a way that, like, it has the same layout and they find there's like some similar looking stuff in it. I don't know if that's in the book too, but
that was people's interpretation. That's interesting.
So, like, the refraction concept gets really abstract in this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't even know how to deal with that.
Super weird.
How would that work?
And that's why the biology stuff obviously is, I think, not great, but I forgive it because the whole thing to me is meant to be this very abstract notion of refraction that is clearly going into a bunch of different, very, very distinct paradigms.
Yeah, and also, you know, the alien thing, whatever it is, they make it clear that, hey, we don't know what it wants. We don't know even if it wants anything. So they're coming at this from a very, very alien perspective.
So that was probably my favorite part of the movie. And I don't know. And I kind of think the movie, in my opinion, ruins it a little bit. Like, it kind of contradicts that a tiny bit with the weird ending. But it's hard because all this is up to interpretation, I guess. But I don't know what order we wanted to talk about anything here. But I did really like the idea that whatever is causing this shimmer, it seems to be, you know, is it a, like a sentient entity? It seems that, like, they come to the conclusion that it's not even, as you said, it doesn't want things maybe, and it's not even sentient, but it's scrambling all this stuff. And then in the end, when it goes into the Tool music video, there's a fantastic sequence and the music is great. And this thing just kind of mimics Natalie Portman. And I love it because it seems like it's not necessarily a conscious entity, you know, with its own wants and goals and whatever. It's some other kind of thing that we just don't even, maybe can't even grasp what it is really. But it all it does is mimic Natalie Portman in this really creepy way. And she has to figure out how to kind of defeat it in a way by, you know, initially her resistance to it and her trying to get away from it and all that causes her harm. Like, she has to realize it's like when you got to fight Shadow Link in Zelda.
Yeah, it is the verse battle in every game.
Yeah. But I think that's interesting, the idea of an entity. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about this, PZ, but, you know, if we ever were to encounter some alien life form, like how just completely different it could be potentially from us, or maybe not, based on if it had to evolve in similar circumstances. I don't know.
Yeah, well, this, my impression is it's a thing that doesn't share many attributes with human beings. And when it crashes on the Earth, it doesn't regard humans as the most important thing to emulate, right? Because it's putting up this shimmer and it's changing trees and deer and bears and alligators and all these other things. All of those are just as important to it. And I think the ending is a thing struggling to understand this other entity that has entered its lighthouse.
No, I mean, my version is way weirder. So I just want to make sure that we were done with anything in the bounds of normalcy before I rocket us into space.
What I said was not normal, but okay. Make it weirder.
It's all relative in this world.
Yeah.
To me, the it's not an entity to me, I guess, in a sense. I wouldn't describe it as an organism. I wouldn't describe it as a self. I don't know what its inner worlds are or are not. It feels to me like a sort of a manifestation of a paradigm shift. Like, that was what kept coming back to me, is that it's a changing of the rules of
welcome
reality.
Welcome to Aaron's TED Talk. Okay, go ahead.
What?
I said, welcome to Aaron's TED Talk. Okay, good. Commence.
Because
paradigm shift. So we looked at the data.
Sorry?
Sorry. I'm just mocking TED Talks. Go ahead.
No, yeah. So, it is, it's sort of like, to me, it's like, it's something that is not a thing in itself. Like you were saying at the beginning, it's not a thing in itself. It's not a substrate in itself. It's a change to the way that everything around it interacts, the way that time works around it, the way that, you know, and it pulls in stuff from around it and refracts them in different ways. But I don't think it was ever a thing in itself. It could manifest sort of versions of other things in a sense, but I don't think it was like trying to learn to be us, to take over or something like that. I think it's like a mirror. It's like a mirror crash landed, but a really, really weird alien mirror.
Yeah. And it's like just picking up the vibrations of everything and refracting it. And as humans, you go in there and you see the human reflection. Mm-hmm. But that's not what the thing cares about. If it, no, just, like just you say, prism. It's not a thing. It's a force.
Well, that's why, personally, I didn't love, because it does seem to me, because it turns out, you know, like Oscar Isaac isn't really Oscar Isaac anymore. That part I like he's what happened. And we didn't really talk about this, I guess. What happened was she finds a video. I don't know who set up the video recorder in that way, but
Oscar Isaac set up the video.
They're shooting a home Christmas video or something. And Oscar Isaac, yeah, I guess he wanted to document what was happening, but he's kind of, I don't know if he's going insane or what, but he is very unhappy with the current state of things. And he decides to commit suicide with like a flash grenade thingy and like a phosphorus grenade thingy. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of talking to his duplicate or whatever, like his shimmer version, and he kills himself. And then the shimmer version takes over. Which I like, but there's all kinds of things I don't think I understand, and it could just be me, but like, why is he riddled with cancer when he leaves? You know, like that's weird, and then the cancer goes away at the end, and he's fine. That seems confusing. And then in the end, it turns out that Natalie Portman, the Shimmer, was within us the whole time, or something. Like, what, we got to talk about this ending, but I don't know if you want to leave it for episode two or what. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I guess I think, you know, I mean, I have my own conceptual ways of interpreting all of these things. I don't think it should be read as a, you know, aliens survive to take over the world kind of like horror.
Yeah,
movie
and
ending
that's
that you
what
often...
it seems to lean toward in the end. That's what
right.
bothers
that,
me.
I mean, it's a cliche that I think my guess is, from what I've been told, from what I've read, the movie, there was a big debate between the director and the studio about whether or not how weird to make the ending, essentially, right? How non-clear to make the ending. And I think my guess is that eye thing was one of the kind of things that they required be kept in as a way to like hat tip to the people who were like, what just happened for the past 20 minutes?
Right.
But I agree. I mean, like, I like the idea of the shimmer carrying on in them as a, like I said, a paradigm shift that they would then continue to manifest in the world that can't be destroyed even by the phosphorus grenade.
Yeah. So. And I kind of felt like the ending was a sop thrown to people who didn't want the movie to end with the alien taking over the world, because that's mm-hmm. how the book sort of ends is no, there's no simple resolution like that. But in the movie, you know, and Alex Garland has said there will not be a sequel made to this movie. So he's sort of cutting it off there. So they needed something to abruptly end everything so people could walk out of the theater feeling like, oh, there was a conclusion. When there
the
really isn't.
Team Shimmer yeah. wins?
In the book, does Team Shimmer win?
Yeah.
There is no Team
what
Shimmer.
What is winning?
What are you talking about?
What is Shimmer? What is winning?
Yeah. I know.
Paradigm
I know.
Shift.
I know.
It doesn't want. It isn't. It isn't a thing right. that's trying to change the world. It's just.
Well, sure, but cancer doesn't want anything, but still yeah. it wins sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately.
Yep.
So does it win in the sense that cancer wins? I don't know.
No. Oh, the book ends even more ambiguously than the movie. Ah, okay. So, mm-hmm. no, you can't say that. But
okay,
the adventures of Lena the biologist do not end at the end of the book.
All right, we're at about time for episode one here, but there's a whole another concept that Aaron wants to talk about for episode two. So let's do the thing we always do, which is we'll reverse it since I kind of spilled the beans there. What are we going to be talking about next episode, Aaron?
Yeah, and I didn't make this term up. This is not something that I'm just BSing here, right? We're going to talk about deep ecology, which is a theory in, well, we'll see, sort of maybe metaphysics or theories of value. It touches on a lot of different things, and it's, I think, very closely tied into this movie, and PZ has a bunch of great thoughts on that as well. So we're going to do a follow-up on that.
That's awesome. And then I've tried my best to save any sort of movie critique for the After Dark. And I am really wondering if you guys can help me puzzle out what's happening in some parts of this movie for After Dark. And we can talk about the weirdness and maybe where that clash between the studio and Alex Garland might have gone wrong, maybe. I don't know. I think that does seem to explain some of it to me, but we'll talk about that. And then we have to do one last thing, which is, of course, maybe the most important, which is to see what our top patrons are going to make Aaron say this week.
Yeah, thanks to our top patrons. If I'm not a clone, what's this three on my forehead? Aaron's inability to read names is influencing Thomas. I'm being refracted through the shimmer, Thomas. That's what's going on. Wow. You're going to start picking up all of my horrible idiosyncrasies. Exciting. You're going to start thinking everything's a satire too now. Philosopher, I hardly know her.
Well, it's a bit of a repeat. Hey, top patrons, make sure to change those up, but that's okay. Those were all solid, so we still got to enjoy them for a second week. And then with that said, you're going to have to hop on over to patreon.com/0G for a little bonus extra. If not, we'll see you next week. Thanks so much, PZ, for coming on for this and helping us understand BS biology words that weren't anything.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to next week and deep ecology, because that's not BS. That's really cool stuff.
Ooh, all right. That's a fantastic teaser for next week. We'll see everybody then.
That's all for the main show, but if you'd like to go to patreon.com/0G, you can enjoy Philosophers in Space After Dark. Here's a little sneak peek for you.
I love that this movie was like, what's this alien? Pfft. What's this alien? You can't even describe it. You have no idea what this is. It's such a weird thing that Aaron is doing a TED talk about it. Paradigm Shift 2.0.
This has been a burst transmission of Philosophers in Space. All music written and performed by Thomas Smith. If you've enjoyed your infotainment upload, please locate the nearest podcast interface device and fill it with 5-star ratings and glowing reviews. If you think Ground Control should spring for fun new goodies and content, consider supporting us at patreon.com/0G. You can find us on Twitter at 0G Philosophy, where Aaron will instantly and compulsively respond. Or you can email us at philosophersinspace@gmail.com. Finally, if you're sad that it takes so long for our signals to reach Earth, you can always find Thomas over at Serious Inquiries Only and Opening Arguments, and Aaron over at Embrace the Void. Until next time, live long and philosopher.